You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. All right, America. You know, there are some boxers, like Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, who gained fame and acclaim for their ability to spar. But there's one boxer who truly inspires without the need to throw a punch. Instead, he delivers plenty of sloppy kisses and possesses plenty of tail-wagging talent, and he answers to the name Presley. Our special guests on today's show are Travis Borson and his young but talented boxer, Presley, winners of the Greatest American Dog title from the hit CBS show by the same name. Hey, welcome to our show, Travis, and of course, Presley.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having us.
Oh, we're glad you're here. We're going to find out what life is like now to be the Greatest American Dog and to have a little extra ka-ching to the name of $250,000 when we talk to Travis right after this commercial break.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Pick up something unique at A Bone to Pick Dog Boutique. A Bone to Pick has cool hip fashions for big and small dogs that will have their tails wagging in style. Cat products too. abone-to-pick.com. Check out our eco-friendly pet products and gifts for humans too. abone-to-pick.com. Get your pet's mouth watering monthly with our Gourmet Treat of the Month Club and join A Bone to Pick's free birthday club for your puppy. abone-to-pick.com. Pick up something special for your best friend at A Bone to Pick. abone-to-pick.com. Get 10% off with coupon code PETLIFE.
Flight 291 is now boarded. All passengers, please proceed to gate 4.
And who's this traveling with us today?
This is Bailey. She's never flown Midwest Airlines before.
Hi, Bailey. She'll be fine. We take special care of our traveling pets. In fact, our Premier Pet Program was created by an employee and dog lover who believes that pets should be handled as precious cargo. And they are. Oh, and they earn travel rewards too.
Oh, good.
Thanks for flying Midwest Airlines, Bailey. Enjoy your flight. Visit MidwestAirlines.com.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back. You're listening to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Travis, you had America on pins and needles for the whole 10 weeks. We never knew who was going to be crowned greatest American dog on the same show on CBS. It started with 12 teams of people and their dogs, all shapes and sizes, all from big and little cities. And I got to ask you this question that you've been asked a zillion times already, but in your wildest dreams, when you first got this little dog in your hands and adopted Presley, did you ever imagine that before his second birthday, he'd be winning this huge trophy and this unbelievable title?
I mean, never in my wildest dreams. You know, that was what was so funny about us doing the show is that people don't really believe that before we did the show, I mean, Presley wouldn't even, when I would yell for Presley to come to me from across the way, he'd turn and run the other direction. And
people see ya, wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah, he's like, man, he's like, why would I go over there when I can run down here? You know, and it's so funny because dog people understand, but a lot of people don't believe. They just can't believe the progress over those 7 weeks, you know, that he made. And I can't believe it. And I think that was what was so great about the competition.
No, I think that's great. And I also think, though, one thing that was going in your favor is that you really paid attention to the other people and their teams. And you're like a sponge as well as Presley. You soaked up a lot of good doggy knowledge. I mean, you almost got your PhD, pretty hot dog, in that contest by really paying attention to some of the other contestants and how they interacted with their dogs, the good and the bad, I guess, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that was what was so great for us is that we had that opportunity. You know, with Presley not having many bad habits as far as like me training him, because I hadn't really trained him much, you know, definitely potty training and, you know, sitting and trying to stay as long as possible. But as far as like tricks and big time obedience stuff, I really didn't know not only the right way, but I also didn't know the wrong way. So he didn't have a lot of bad habits at that point. Even though he was at 16 months, he was really at that age. I even had somebody there tell me, I think it was the trainer on the show, Kirsten, she said, Presley's at an age where he's at a fork in the road. And within the next month, he's either going to say, like you said, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya, I'm going this way, or, you know, he's going to stick by my side and we're going to head down the other direction together. And so I think the timing of this competition was just perfect. It allowed me to take a lot of the things that I saw people training and their methods and apply them to Presley. And it also showed me that there were things that worked with some dogs that don't work with every dog. And that was what we benefited from the most, I would say.
So zip us back in time, the pre-Presley years. What made you get this dog? You said you're a new dog owner, I guess. Mm-hmm. And what was life like pre-Presley for you?
Well, before I even had a dog, I grew up on a farm and ranch in Oklahoma, and I moved out here after I graduated college at Oklahoma State University, and it was either kind of go back home and work on the farm, you know, or take this opportunity, you know, not being tied down, not married, no kids, and you know, and venture out. So I moved out to Los Angeles and over the last 4 years had been successful enough to get by on doing commercials and TV work. But over the last like 3 years, I saw a lot of people out here in Los Angeles who had dogs, and I grew up on a farm, so we had dogs and cats and cattle and pigs and all that good stuff, but we'd always have between 3 and 10 pigs. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and cattle we'd have over 1,000. You know, so you weren't really like best buddies with them. So I never really had that relationship, and I moved to LA, so all these people, you know, dogs being carried in purses, you know, dogs having their own seats in cars, and, you know, just all these things, and I'm like, wow, what is going on? Like, what is this all about? And these people just had these really cool, and at the time I felt maybe a little wacky relationships with their dogs, and I thought, maybe this is something I ought to give a try to. You know, maybe I should, you know, do this. And I think nobody really knows this, but when I was in the eighth grade, I showed pigs in the FFA, and they were my best buddies, and I had them named, and they were my friends, and they were my pets. And I remember when I had to sell them off the market, I didn't understand that that was the way it worked. And I remember in the eighth grade crying and being like, I am never going to become attached to an animal again. This is not worth it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so I think since then I had just always kept that door kind of closed off because I just didn't want to, you know, it's painful to love an animal and then have it leave you. And I just thought, I just am not going to do that again. And when I got Presley from my hometown of Perry, he was 8 weeks old, and I had him out here, and for the first 14 months, I really questioned, am I ready for a dog? Is this really what I want? It's a lot of work. And I hadn't really found that bond that all these people already had. And this show came up, and I thought, you know, what the heck? They just had the writer strike, and I hadn't, you know, hadn't worked in a few months. And I thought, what a great opportunity. So I knew that going into it, it would either be one of those things that 24 hours a day for the X amount of days we were in there, I was either going to go, okay, this isn't for me and I need to figure something out, or I was going to come out with a best friend. And luckily, that's where we came out.
Wow. Now there's a Hollywood story for you.
I know, right?
You couldn't have scripted that any better. I mean, I'm sure there were no pigs in the Future Farm. What is FFA?
Yeah, FFA. Yeah, it used to be Future Farmers of America. And now it's just a leadership organization that stands alone with those acronyms. But yeah, that was something big for me in high school, you know, public speaking and all that great stuff. But I did, you know, show animals, pigs and cattle and stuff. And that was just one of those things, you know, you just, everybody, you know, would grow a bond with their animal, but you would always kind of keep that distance to where you wouldn't,
right.
You know, you wouldn't let yourself get hurt. And I had been that way. And I thought, well, you know, and I think that what that contest did for me was, you know, open me back up to those, because, you know, with the loss of a loved one, there comes all that love and all those great memories and all that,
right.
You know, awesome things that I've been missing out on all those years. And this is really what's been neat for me, is I've been able to touch back in and touch base with all those wonderful things that come with all that.
So how did you pick Presley as an 8-week-old pup, and what made you pick a boxer?
Well, you know, that's something else about winning this competition, where a lot of boxer fans are going, well, we hope everybody out there realizes that not all boxers are like Presley. And, you know, in the sense that they are so high energy, you know, and they just want to play and they want to love and they want to do all so many things. Well, I wasn't real familiar with that, but I did think that I was like, well, I'll pick out one of these puppies that looks really reserved and laid back and, you know, kind of away from the pack. And that's the way Presley was as a puppy. And he was just very reserved and just kind of, you know, would sit there and stare at you. And I thought, this is the one. Because, you know, he'll be able to, like, watch football with me and,
yeah.
You know, just kind of lay around. Well, I think after about 3 weeks past that, I realized that was wrong.
he wanted to play football.
Exactly. He wanted to bounce off of the walls 24/7. And I thought, what did I get myself into? But, you know, with all that, what an amazing learning experience for me. And then the socialization he got on the show was just priceless. You know, he realized that he didn't have to go sniff and say hi to every single dog that walked by. You know, he was able to learn the social skills of dogs are dogs, and not all dogs want to be approached. You know, not all
right.
dogs want to be sniffed, and they all give off, they have their own way of talking, which I learned from being on the show. They have their own language. Just because one dog tells another dog to get away from them, it doesn't mean that they're a mean or rude dog. It just means maybe one dog's older and doesn't, you know, isn't into the playful puppy energy like they used to be. And so I just really learned a lot about dogs in general, which was really a great treat for us.
Well, you had quite a collection. I think of all the species, God had the most creativity when he created a dog, because you got the little teacup chihuahuas to the, you know, the big dogs that weigh over, like the bull mastiffs, you know, and other dogs that can weigh over 200 pounds, 150 plus different dogs that are out there on the planet. So this had to be quite an eye opener for you. There's, you know, pigs come in many similar shapes, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of different pigs from dogs, right?
I mean, it's a big difference. And I think that was one of the things being on the show, was that, you know, I really felt like, you know, I kind of represented the average American that just has a pet that would like to train their pet but doesn't necessarily know how, but still loves their animal and just really kind of needs that guidance and really somebody just to go, what do I do? Like, I want to help them, but I can't. And so what was fun for me was being able to show those people out there who maybe don't have the knowledge or the experience that it can still be done. You know what I mean? That it's all about the time and the effort that you put into it. And that's what you'll get back in return.
So do you have a cool website or anything? Please say yes, you're a smart man.
Yes, of course.
People can kind of keep following the adventures of Travis and Presley?
Absolutely. We have a website. It's really easy. It's travisandpresley.com. Presley spells his name Presley. So it's just Travis and the word, three words, travisandpresley.com. And you can follow us there, keep us, you know, we're keeping everybody updated on what we're doing. We got a lot of crazy things in the works. So funny, I'm not familiar with this reality world, but we were just nominated through the Fox Reality Awards as the best dynamic duo.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Can you believe it? And we were just nominated. Of course, you know, the award ceremony isn't for another week or so, but we just thought, what a cool, how many people in Hollywood could say they are walking down a red carpet and they're at an awards ceremony because of their dog? Fox does a Fox Reality Awards. They do their own,
gosh.
You know, they're, yeah, you know, and it's a reality thing, but I thought, you know, who else in Hollywood can say they got to take their dog down a red carpet because of their dog?
And who else in Hollywood would worry that the performer would do something on the red carpet, too? So make sure you walk up, Presley, before you guys make that voyage.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to talk more about the cool talents of Presley and great. Speak with Travis Borson right after we pay for this show by taking this commercial break.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Hey, all you dog stylists. Are you on the cutting edge of canine design and shaggy chic? Groomer Has It on Animal Planet is now casting for season 2. Groomer Has It is looking for competitive dog stylists with amazing personalities to compete to become Animal Planet's top groomer. $50,000 grand prize for the winner, plus weekly compensation for all contestants during filming. If you have what it takes to be the top groomer, then audition for Groomer Has It today. For more information, contact Catherine at 310-727-3337 extension 71272 or email groomerhasit@gmail.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As mentioned, we have Travis Borson and Presley. Need we say more? We just need to say Travis and Presley, and people know who we're talking about. We're talking about the winners of the Greatest American Dog Show title. You win $250,000. That's a lot of kibble there for you, Travis.
Sure is.
Plus this huge trophy that literally, if you just laid it down, I think would probably be about the length of your boxer, Presley, wouldn't you say?
I would say, and I think it honestly think it's close to weighing as much as Presley too. So,
now the show obviously was taped, and you've known that you've won this, and you've had to keep your lip zipped for I don't know how many weeks because the show just aired. But tell us what has How did you deal with the time you knew to the time it was announced? How did you deal with that? Pressure.
It was really a challenge at first. I really kind of got some good practice because, of course, all my friends, you know, hey, so, you know, how are you going to spend all that money, you know, that I got to come back with well, what money? You know, we don't know who's won yet. So, you know what I mean? So I just really got really good at turning those, flipping those questions around. But after the first couple episodes, I realized, you know, how much fun people were having watching the show and how much fun they were having being a part of the journey, you know, that we took through those, you know, 10 episodes of Greatest American Dog. And once I saw that and saw how excited people were just watching it, seeing the other dogs and becoming part of the life of the show, that just, that motivated me to think, you know, I'm actually doing everyone else a favor by not telling them, because I'm allowing them to be a part of the show. And that was what
That's
was so cool.
Smart. I think you're right. I think one trait about you, Travis, is that you are very conscious of the feelings of others, whether they have two or four legs.
Yes. And that was enlightening to me. I mean, I think other people noticed that before I did. I really hadn't even looked at it that way until somebody had mentioned it to me, and I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying now. I realize that. But going into the competition, you know, for me, that's what the competition was all about to begin with. You know, it was all about the relationship between you and your dog, and not that the other people on the show didn't have great relationships, because they all had, that was the one thing about this show. There wasn't one person on there that didn't absolutely adore animals and, of course, their own pet, you know, I mean, far beyond you could ever imagine. And that was what made it so wonderful, was it showed me how, you know, how to love a pet, how to love an animal, how to put them first, you know, especially in a competition like that when it's all about the animal. And if they're not having fun, then why are you doing it? And so for me, it was really neat having friends and family and other fans watching the show and living through what I had experienced. And with them not knowing the outcome, you know, that was just an added bonus.
So how long of a time are we talking about between the show's taping and the show's final episode airing? Did you have to keep your lips zipped?
Right at the beginning of June. The first week of June all the way until a week ago Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh. And you can't be, like, spending the money or anything. You've got to be, like, regular, I'm looking for a Hollywood job here like everybody else in L.A., right?
Yep, regular old Joe. You know, fortunately enough, about a year earlier, I had a mission trip planned to Indonesia for July, which was actually 3.5 weeks in July and the beginning of August. So I had that trip planned a year in advance. And so what that allowed me to do, you know, was not only, you know, have the opportunity to go and help some people, but it also allowed me to, you know, kind of get away from everything and take a little breather. I can't tell you, you know, doing a reality show and not having any contact to the outside world, it makes it hard to go to the grocery store when you get back, because nothing is the same. It's really out of sorts. But that really allowed me to kind of get away and get grounded again and get focused on what's really important, you know, and also it kept me out of the answering so many questions about who won. So it was.
This was a mission you went as you're a very strong Christian. So what were you doing in Indonesia? Because I know in the bio it says you've been to Venezuela as well.
Yeah, the last 2 years I went to Venezuela. We went to Caracas and worked in a homeless shelter and a drug rehab center and a youth center there the last 2 summers. Then this summer we went to Indonesia. And we went around in Indonesia. We actually went to the island of Bali, but we went to the lower class portions. And there was actually a gentleman there who had fallen out of a coconut tree and had broken his back. And, you know, they were just had poor living conditions. So we went in and, you know, built him a new house and new bathroom and new kitchen for his family. You know, that's just something, you know, this time around, it wasn't through a particular church. I actually had gotten some friends together and said, you know, let's just go do something on our own, you know. And so we were able to go through an organization here in L.A. called Wishful Thinking, which is a nonprofit organization. It's one of those things that I've always done, and it really, you know, keeps everything in perspective and reminds me what's really important. And, you know, it couldn't have come at a better time.
Now, is it wishfulthinking.com, or if people want to have interest in
joining this group? It's actually the number 4 wishfulthinking.org.
.org. Okay, because I think that's a great idea. It's sort of like you were like Habit for Humanity with this gentleman that broke his back,
yeah.
Right?
You know, I had gone with the Bel Air Presbyterian Church to Venezuela the last 2 summers, and I had a lot of friends who, you know, some of them are Christian, some others are just really good people, and they wanted to do something. They didn't want to feel like it was a set-in-stone organized thing, but they just really wanted to give back. And I said, well, then let's, you know, we can go do our own work, and you can do it for your own reasons. You know what I mean? I don't want to tell somebody why to be a good person or to do something great. And, you know, and just to go out there and witness to those other people and be a part of that, I think everybody just really, really enjoyed it. And it was one of those things that it was just really, like I said, it came at a great time. I didn't have to answer all those questions.
The people in Indonesia were more important about, can you please help us with our friend that needs a home and has a broken back, right?
Exactly.
It really does put things in perspective, I think. What a great timing for that trip.
And it really did. And so, you know, and of course then I've got the typical answers of, oh, so you went to Indonesia, so you must have won, huh? And I'm like, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that goes on out here. And that's what's, you know, why I obviously my mom makes sure that I always remember that I'm from Oklahoma. And of course I go home and I say, okay, Mama, you know, I've got to catch the plane today. I'm going home. She said, no, now Travis, this is your home. LA is where you live. And I said, oh, you're right, Mom. I'm sorry.
That's right. That's good. Hey, what did the people that did get expelled early, did they have to live in the house the same for the rest of the duration, or what happened to them so that they, or did they go home and just had to keep quiet, or what?
No, it's like most of the reality shows do what they call a sequester. Where they go to a separate location. Mm-hmm. They do a sequester. They go to a separate location. And then, you know, from there, you know, they stay together. And, you know, as one at a time they get kicked off, they all go and stay in this, you know, other location. And they're there for the duration. And then, of course, you know, they all came back on the last day. That way, you know, that way they're not going home and seeing their family members, and their family members going, oh, well, I thought it wasn't over until so-and-so date. And then that way it just kind of keeps everybody on the
level. And they are not allowed to have phone calls or emails as well, right?
No, yeah, they stay in the same. I know, it's really wild, isn't it?
I just want to let you know, since you've been gone, Britney Spears has been elected president, and, you know, the main food now is a dog food. I just wanted to tell you, in case you, because you've been in Indonesia and been sequestered from the show, a lot of things have happened differently.
I know, hey, it wouldn't surprise me. It had been such a wild trip.
There's some dog on the Supreme Court now. I mean, I'm telling you, life has gone to the dogs. I think that's
perfect.
Not bad.
Yeah, well, that means Presley has a lot of opportunities ahead if we got a dog on the Supreme Court. That's great.
Oh, my gosh. He is so athletic. I got to tell you, I loved watching him when he was doing the agility. And when he went Superman fly, if you, anybody that likes BMX biking, there's a Superman thing where you do it on the wheel of the, on the, on the handlebar of the bike. I guess it's called the Superman.
Yeah.
And Presley looked like that when he did that challenge where he had a trust to go airborne to meet you on that one challenge several weeks back. I mean, you had to be blown away to see him fly.
I mean, you know what, and that was what was so crazy is I tell people, I'm like, I got so stressed, and they're like, why? And I said, well, because I just, you know, Presley kept doing all these things I was asking him to do, and I was like, it was just blowing my mind. And I said, who would have ever thought that, you know, your dog would look 20 feet down and think somehow that that is okay and that that is safe. And it was safe. I mean, obviously I wouldn't have been asking him to do it if it wasn't safe. And so that was what was so crazy. And that was what I think, you know, made us grow so close together, is that you have this other being doing all these things just because you're asking them to do it. And it, you know, it's just, it's absolutely amazing. It's just absolutely amazing.
Wow. Now, there was an analogy that was given to both you and to Lori and Andrew, and the fact that you and Presley were like newlyweds, and they were like a very strong marriage. And I wanted to get your take on that because, you know, was quite a formidable challenger for you and had a little dog, and it was a nice representation in the finals. But were you a little nervous when they were just ready to announce the name? And what's your take on that analogy of newlyweds versus marriage?
Well, I actually told Lori, you know, after that was over, I said, you know, that was a compliment for me because, you know, going into the competition, you know, if you're using analogies of newlyweds and dating and this and that, I would put Presley and I in the boat that, you know, our relationship was on the rocks, if that's the analogies you want to use. And then, you know, over the course of those 7 weeks, it was, you know, I mean, as a human dog relationship, it was like, you know, we just kind of fell in love on that friendship level of like, you know, I'll do anything for you when you're doing anything for me. And so to have her use that term of newlyweds, well, I don't think there's a much happier couple than when somebody first gets married. So as far as that's concerned, you know, I was just like, that's one of the best compliments I could ever have. And for me, that means that this is the beginning, you know, to something wonderful, as opposed to, you know, already having something wonderful and being down the road on that. So for me, I was just like, that's the best compliment I could ever get. And standing there in the top two, as far as my feelings go, for the last 3 or 4 weeks of the competition, I wouldn't say I was ready to go home, but almost every time that I was on the fence, I was okay with going home, because every day that we were there, I just made sure to get the most out of every moment we had. That way, when we looked back, if we went home in fourth or sixth or second, that no matter what happened, we could look back and go, you know what, we took full advantage of every opportunity, and win or lose, it could be a win-win situation.
Well, I got to tell you, you do have puppy dog eyes, and I'm sure there's a lot of women in America that want your phone number, and we will not shout it out on the radio. I promise you that. But it sounds like, you know, you really took to heart what the judges were saying, and each week you tried to do better. And if the rest of the America, if we just followed that mantra, man, can you imagine how amazing this world would be?
I mean, it is so amazing, especially when a lot of the contestants on the show got really frustrated with the judges' criticism, and the way I just felt, I was like, you know what, the judges aren't up here giving us this criticism to like bash us or talk down to us. I mean, they want us to succeed. You know, they want us to do well. And that's what I think people were forgetting, is that it was constructive criticism. Everything they were going, and it was like, for me, I didn't know right from wrong. So when I did something wrong, it was like, okay, great, now I know. You know, and now I can move on, as opposed to somebody like JD or Lori, who, you know, who have all these things kind of set in stone, and when they get approached by the judges with something, they have a little bit of a different thought process, because they've been doing it one way for so long, which doesn't make their way right or wrong. It just allowed me to be able to be really open, you know, to any ideas and any criticisms that we could get, and for us to, they want us to do well, and I think if we just remembered that, you know, that was the key.
So what's something fun you've done with the money?
Well, I actually haven't gotten
the
money
yet. Something with a purpose. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, bud. You know, we're just teasing. Off to
school. Yeah, right? But when I do get the money, you know, something I'm really looking forward to is the money is actually going to allow me to spend a lot more time with Presley. And I think that's what's most important. And, you know, I look back, I'm like, well, I wouldn't have gotten the money if it wasn't for him anyway. So, you know, he deserves the best of it. So, obviously, good dog beds and fun dog toys and good healthy treats. But on that same level, I think it will also allow us to do a little bit of traveling and go around. And you know, for the short time that Presley and I may have, that people remember us and remember the show, you know, if we could go to a local animal shelter, wherever it may be, and make an appearance and have, you know, and have 100 people show up as opposed to 20 and get 10 or 15 extra dogs adopted that day. I mean, if we could do things like that and the money allows us to go around for even if it's the next 6 months and do something fun like that, we would just love to do something like that. So that's kind of what we're hoping will be an opportunity to do, hopefully.
Yeah, because a big chunk will be gobbled up by Uncle Sam. You know that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I'm sure, though, there's going to be a lot of invitations for both of you to be the ambassadors for doggies everywhere. I mean, the show just proclaimed you greatest American dog team. But I know, just like Miss America and other people win awards, and you've got to admit, you probably are starting to get a full docket, aren't you?
Oh, man, I tell you what, the last 4 days, I've realized what some people go through on a daily basis with emails and interviews and public appearances and this and this and that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just relate it back to the show, and I just keep saying, well, as long as Presley's having fun doing all this, we'll keep doing it. And as soon as it's not fun to him anymore, we'll be done. And that's what I keep stressing, as far as having the greatest American dog isn't just about the dog, but it's about the relationship with the owner and the dog and how much time is spent with them, and just making sure you don't ask something of the dog that you wouldn't ask of yourself. And I think if everybody just remembers that, it's like, how can you not come out on top?
Well, with that kind of a relationship that you have with Presley, there's no danger of Presley ever becoming a diva dog. And I think the life together you have is going to just keep getting stronger and stronger. Again, we're very, very glad that you came on our show, Travis, and I'm glad Presley's been kind of the strong, silent type, I'm sure. Would rather it was he, what's Presley doing right now?
Well, he's right here. I'll see if I can. Hey, Presley. Presley, can you say hi? Oh, there's a big yawn right there. There he is.
He says, I love the Old Behave show with Arden Moore. I want to give her a big old sloppy kiss if she was right here,
that's
right?
That's exactly what he said. His tail's a wagon. Yeah, absolutely.
It's hilarious because through my headset, one of my dogs just lifted up her head, Chipper, saying, oh, is that Presley? I'm a tall blonde. I'm a golden retriever husky. Come here, Presley.
So all just right.
I do want to say, though, what was very joyful to hear at the end of the show, the Greatest American Dog Show, when they did anoint you and Presley as the winners of the Greatest American Dog title, is that they said that you came here as a guy with a dog, and 10 weeks later, you're leaving with the Greatest American Dog. But you stressed something very important, and that was that you don't have to be perfect to be the Greatest American Dog. And is there any last message you'd like to give to all of us listeners about that message?
You know, I think that was just the most important thing that I learned, was that it's exactly what you said, is that it doesn't take a perfect dog for the dog to be great. And at the same time, it doesn't take the most knowledgeable owner for them to be a great owner. What it takes is the willingness to learn and want to have a great dog, and more importantly, want to have a great relationship. And, you know, I relate it to human beings. The more work you put into it, you know, the more giving it will be for both people in the relationship, the dog and the human. And, you know, more than anything, I did an interview the other day, and they asked me, they said, does it bother you when Press is at home and you're not there? And I said, you know what, I don't know a lot about dogs, but I think we all know that whether your dog's at home for 1 hour or 4 hours, they're just as excited to see you when you walk through that door. So it's all,
absolutely.
You know, it's all about, So it's all about taking that opportunity to spend the time that you have to spend with them, and not coming home and sitting on the couch and watching the football game when you've been gone for 8 hours, but take that time that you have, because they may not know you've been gone for 8 hours, but they will know that you're not spending time with them when you are home. And for me, that was the most important thing that I just really want to stress to people in my position that are in the same boat, where they have a great dog, they're a great person, and they just need to bring the two together. And, you know, it's just all about the time you put in and is what you'll get back.
Well, that's a great lesson to unleash on America, and I'm really glad you said that. Again, we're speaking with Travis Borson and with Presley, who won the Greatest American Dog Show title. We thank you very much for being guest on our show, and just continue doing good work.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. At this time, I also want to thank my cool producer. He makes this show happen every week. And if you have some ideas or questions or comments for a show, please zip me an email at arden@ardenmore.com. And please take a sniff around the PetLifeRadio.com site. We have lots of good things that bring out the very best in you and your pets. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave! With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.